everyone. Welcome to another episode of Bitcoin Banter. We've got Tony here. Rick is still out of town, but I think we're going to have him back next week. We've got some fun news to jump into, and let's dive right in with this first one. So a lot of people have been asking this question. Why are we still floating around this, you know, $65,000, $70,000 range? And Checkmate, who's a fun follow on X, he says people are moaning about ETF inflows not equaling price. Are missing the fact that all those Bitcoiners who said hodlers never sell, yeah, they kind of lied to you. People sell all the time. You can't fake data in the time chain. Tony, are you one of these sellers right now?
Yeah, man, of course. Absolutely. Well, why?
Well, you lost all your Bitcoin in a boating accident, I guess. I forgot.
I lost way more than Bitcoin. I lost fucking everything. I was leveled to ground zero in the literal sense. But yeah, of course people are selling. I mean, most, you know, it's easy to say everybody out there is a retard, you know, but it's applicable to most people, but there are some exceptions to the rules, you know, but of course we're not living on a Bitcoin standard yet. So this is a transition. So people that are, you know, if there are folks that have bought Bitcoin from a very long time ago and are sitting on like thousands of Bitcoin and, you know, like they need to buy something. Well, of course they're going to sell because, you know, we're still living, you know, on a fiat standard for the most part, and, you know, things need to get done. So they will spend. The problem is it's not the majority of these people that are doing the selling, in my opinion. I think it's a combination of these leveraged clowns that are still trading Bitcoin, you know, with such high gambling stakes that are getting wrecked all the time. And you're getting those that are coming into Bitcoin as a get-rich scheme. These people understand absolutely nothing about Bitcoin, let alone money. And, you know, if they make $100 or, you know, $50, they're like, oh my God, it's profit. Let me cash out. And they go and they sell. These people eventually will get, you know, Bitcoin will weed them out. These are just like, you know, the growing pains during the whole transition. But to think, you know, if everyone that gets into Bitcoin is never going to sell, it's a bit naive. In fact, most Bitcoin quote-unquote influencers in the space are fiat people, okay? So don't be fooled by the number of followers that some of these people have or what the things that they say. They may talk about Bitcoin all day, but there are some very dead giveaways that, you know, categorically cement the fact that these are fiat people, and the first opportunity they get, they will sell for whatever reason. So be very careful who you admire. There are no heroes in Bitcoin. The only hero is the revolution itself. And that's holding it, understanding it, and realizing that this is the biggest wonder of the world that we have ever come across. In my opinion, it's bigger than all of them combined. If you just take a moment to really just to visualize what kind of world is possible with money that no human being can corrupt. Just picture that for a second. Try to think about it like really carefully, and you'll understand that this is not something you want to screw around with. It's definitely not something you want to trade, gamble, you know, leverage, or sell to the point where you cannot get into it again, other than obviously the earning it, which is a very slow process. So, yeah, man, I mean, no heroes in Bitcoin. People definitely are selling. Not very smart people are selling, but, you know, some people are selling. Human nature, it is what it is.
Yeah, the optimist in me would hope that it's not the self-proclaimed hodlers who are selling, as Checkmate suggests, but people who are trading, don't really understand the asset materially, but are in it for a quick buck, you know, in a bull market. Certainly, I think that's got to be a big part of it. But yeah, I mean, you know, you think about to the point you made, there are a lot of people in the space who are, you know, Bitcoin's the best money. Oh, but I don't accept it. And we talk, you know, as payment for my business or whatever. And it's like, you know, those are the people who are, they obviously are still chasing fiat and don't understand that in, you know, 5, 10, however many years, it's going to be very hard to get your Bitcoin back once you've gotten rid of it. And a lot of people are going to, I mean, just the amount of seller's regret is going to be incredible over the next decade. So for anyone listening, our encouragement, not financial advice, hold on to your Bitcoin because they're not making more of it. Or at least it's being made very slowly and eventually it will stop forever. So, all righty, we've got just in, MicroStrategy has surpassed Coinbase in market cap. And so, Tony, I told you offline, I was looking into this. I think Brian Armstrong, CEO of Coinbase, has been around Bitcoin since like 2010, like early days. If there's anyone who should understand Bitcoin and its implications and who adopted it early on, it's probably someone like Brian Armstrong. I think he spent a little too much time shitcoining and it's clouded. He's made a ton of money, a ton of fiat doing that, but it certainly seems to have clouded his judgment. What's your takeaway from MicroStrategy surpassing Coinbase?
I think it's great. And I think we generally are not bearish enough on the IQ of the general population, because Bitcoin categorically shines a spotlight on it. This guy has been in the space, you know, for a lot longer than Michael Saylor, you know, as you pointed out. But where is he today? You know, he's at the back of the line, you know, like with nothing. Why? Because he's been shitcoining, you know, all along the way, thinking that, you know, the dollar is the end all and be all of money, not realizing that, you know, the revolution is passing right in front of his face. But he's just too stupid to see it. It is what it is, man. I mean, this is a once in a lifetime opportunity to be part of something that is literally going to revolutionize everything about humanity. And anyone who is not paying attention, or at least, you know, is too lazy to pay attention, well, they're going to regret it, in the sense that, you know, they missed the boat. No one really misses the boat in Bitcoin, because you can always, you know, earn it at some point. But the days, you know, of casually walking into an exchange or somewhere and buying Bitcoin, those days are going to disappear very, very quickly. And the idea of, you know, telling someone, yeah, you know, once upon a time I bought, you know, $1,000 worth of Bitcoin, and they're going to look at you like, what are you, insane? You know, like, where did you come from? No one can buy Bitcoin. You know, that's how insanely valuable it would be at that point in time. He's not unique. I'm sure there's a lot of folks that are in a position to accumulate, but they're just, you know, they suffer from what I call the ostrich syndrome. You know, they have their head in the ground and they assume life is peachy just because they're worth hundreds of millions of dollars, that for somehow, you know, their lives will never be affected. Well, here's a harsh reminder, you know, that where I came from, there are also people with hundreds of millions of dollars, you know, that thought they were going to be kings and queens forever. And then they woke up literally the next morning with a big fat zero and a homeless sign on their head. So for all of those living under that delusion, TikTok, your time is coming.
Yeah, this is a classic example of why you just need to stay humble and stack sats, because even if you don't want to go the distance and take on the strategy that MicroStrategy's taken with Bitcoin accumulation, which has been obviously very aggressive, I mean, just look at what El Salvador's doing. They're buying a Bitcoin a day as long as it's financially viable. And for a country of that size and that, you know, economic scale, they've made, you know, accumulated quite a stack. And even if Coinbase had just done that and just said, we're going to just continue to accumulate a little bit of Bitcoin at a time, use some of our revenues to, you know, view that as like an investment in our future, they'd be so much further ahead. Now, I'm sure I wouldn't be surprised if Brian Armstrong still understands some of the fundamentals and has been able to, you know, profit immensely off of the, you know, the shitcoin craze. And if he personally is covered and owns a ton of Bitcoin, but the opportunity cost that he, you know, for his shareholders is wild. Like the fact that he probably does sort of understand a bit of this and has opted not to take a similar route to MicroStrategy or even just El Salvador and stay humble and stack sats is, it's a travesty. I feel bad for anyone who's been heavily invested in Coinbase and has probably done well, but is now looking at MicroStrategy thinking, why didn't you just, you know, a year ago when it became evident that this was a viable path, and we're going to talk about it in just a minute, what the state of Florida is proposing, you know, I'd be so much better off if you'd just been humble and started accumulating Bitcoin, put it on your balance sheet. So big miss here, but, you know, we've had our disagreements with Michael Saylor on some of his vision for the future, but hats off to him for for continuing to stack and recognizing that this is game changing technology. And again, they're not making more of it. So he's this is a flippening well deserved, I guess you could say. All righty, we've got the CFO of Florida. Speaking of, he says if you're not paying attention to Bitcoin, you're making a mistake. And so Florida is one of the better run states in the United States. I read the letter. I think what it was to the State Board of Administration or something like that. And he's effectively proposing, at least for pensions, as I understand it, that they allocate to Bitcoin. Now, in his letter, he wrote a lot. He used the word cryptocurrency a lot. He talked about Donald Trump's cryptocurrency stockpile, but Bitcoin is the only cryptocurrency that he mentions. He mentions it, I think, four times in the letter. And so I think he probably gets it. Maybe he doesn't fully understand why, or maybe he's trying to not, you know, piss off anyone who's invested in other things. But yeah, this is the sort of thing. It's kind of like the Wisconsin pension fund we talked a while back about. That, you know, they allocated like, I don't know, 0.1 or 0.01% of their fund to the Bitcoin ETFs. You know, once we see that allocation turn into 1% and then 5% because Bitcoin does what it does, I think there's going to be a huge there's going to be pressure on these other state pensions to hop on board and do the same thing. I think the same sort of thing happens at the state level with you know, with their own balance sheets, and that it wouldn't surprise me if other people, the game theory just begins to play out and people have to adopt Bitcoin. Otherwise, everyone's going to move to Florida, or everyone's going to move to Wisconsin, or, you know, wherever these states are taking these proactive measures. I'm curious what you make of this.
Yeah, man, these are words of wisdom. Smart people are paying attention to Bitcoin because it's very clear. Once you start reading a bit into it, you understand that it is the only asset with value in the very near future. You know, like, I mean, if you think the dollar is going to be around forever, or that if it actually has value, well, then you are going to be like harshly surprised much sooner than you think. It's almost like saying, I don't want to listen to anybody talking about electricity because, you know, we have candles and we've been living on candles for many decades, and this is just how it's going to be. And, you know, you're just going to let the whole electric revolution pass you by because you're just, you know, stubborn, I guess. This is the same thing, okay? Like, money is transitioning from something that's worth nothing to something that actually has value for the first time in the history of Earth, and that is Bitcoin. And the sooner people realize this, the sooner they will understand that if you do nothing, okay, that money or that you think you have in a bank, that thing is going to disappear, you know, like a cloud, poof. You're going to wake up one day and either it's going to be gone or there's nothing you can do with it because it's completely worthless. So those people that are, you know, making these statements, they may not use the right terminology all the time. That's okay. This is a transition. It's going to take, you know, time for people to fine tune everything about this. But the fact that they realize that this is the direction that they have to go in, that's all they need to do is start moving in that direction. They'll figure out the vocabulary later. As long as their funds are safe and they understand that this is what they need to hold in order to secure anything of value in the future, it's a win. This is why I'm worried, you know, that the general population is so clueless about this. And the worst thing is that they're clueless, you know. And when you try to talk to someone, most people still look at you like you landed from Mars, even though you're genuinely trying to give them a heads up on something that, you know, is almost mathematically guaranteed to occur. But, you know, you can't force anyone to do anything they don't wish to do. And you certainly can't help someone who is not ready to help themselves. So I'm very bullish on Florida. They've always been, you know, like one of my favorite states, you know, ever since the scamdemic, they were one of the better places to be in. And so I guess they're continuing on that trend. I guess the smart people are all in Florida.
I think so. I wouldn't be surprised if you get states like Texas, Wyoming, others to,
yeah, those two
that people tend to be fleeing to. Yeah, who are going to do a similar thing in the future. But, you know, my only concern is, you know, with Ethereum ETFs now, which I have not paid hardly any attention to, but as I understand it, have been something of a flop to this point, is that that might be a distraction and there's like a bit of that allocation or something. But I think that quickly exits the balance sheet when it doesn't do anything and Bitcoin does what it does. And people begin to wake up to, well, why is Bitcoin different? Why is adoption growing? Why, you know, they start to ask these questions. Maybe, you know, Thomas Massey sends them a copy of the Bitcoin Standard and they begin to educate themselves and they eliminate some of the generic cryptocurrency related terms from their vocabulary. But time will tell. It's a positive step, not because obviously we want government to hold Bitcoin. And I mean, these are ETFs, so they wouldn't hold Bitcoin anyway. But just I think for it to wake people up to this is this is something real and worth considering. And again, hopefully people get a hold of the right resources, the right books. That's part of the reason we do what we do here, is to educate and inform people as to what Bitcoin is and why it's so important, and to shake them out of their complacency. And I think these sorts of big announcements, whether you want the state of Florida to hold Bitcoin or not, I think draw attention in the appropriate direction. So cross our fingers and hope that this they take this a positive direction. Alrighty, Tony, last one just for kicks. We've got another Craig Wright on our hands here. So this man is Stephen Mola. I don't know how you say his last name. He claims to be Satoshi Nakamoto, yet he cannot provide cryptographic proof or sign any early block of the Bitcoin blockchain as usual. No one seems to be able to do that. Do you buy this, Tony? Is this are we looking at Satoshi?
Man, this guy reminds me of Mr. Ranjit, you know, one of the owners of my favorite Indian restaurant, you know, here in Europe. Maybe I should take this clip and ask him if that was him recording it earlier. You know, he doesn't have the keys to sign anything, but maybe he has a side order of butter chicken, you know, that he can share with the world and make it a bit more memorable. Man, these clowns, you know, like, to honestly have the audacity to put your face on camera and say something as moronic as this is like, it really takes some, you know, the guy, you have to give it to him. He has a good set of balls on him to go publicly and say something like so stupid like that. Yeah, you have to give him credit, you know, for at least having the guts to do it. Whether I believe him, of course, nobody in their right mind should believe him, but there's going to be probably, he's probably not the last one to come out and advertise himself as Satoshi Nakamoto. Maybe next week it'll be, I don't know, Bruce Lee will come out of somewhere and say that he's in fact, you know, still around and he's Satoshi Nakamoto. I don't know anybody. Just, you know, it's good for laughs. It's good for entertainment. You know, it's good to laugh.
It's funny because it's just like, okay, move some of Satoshi's original Bitcoin. And I think in the absence of that, no one really cares what, you know, evidence you present in terms, oh, look, I was here at this time and I, you know, I have access to this account where I can show that I was leaving comments. Like, it's like, just sign a transaction, prove it to the world. And I think he said something about how he's like, he's going to do it at a conference or something like that. But like, you know what's coming. Like, he's going to have some other form of proof. And I put proof in quotations that, you know, he's Satoshi and everyone's going to, a couple of people are going to believe him, and maybe he'll fork and he'll have, you know, another BSV kind of thing going on, and he'll dupe a few people and the rest of us will just TikTok next block with our BTC. So I hope, you know, I hope as few people continue to be scammed by these things as humanly possible. And in the event he did turn out to be Satoshi Nakamoto, still doesn't matter. He's put his neck out there, and I would hire a lot of personal security, but doesn't change the network. We're just going to keep on moving forward and growing adoption and taking people into self-custody.
I don't think Satoshi Nakamoto is still around, to be honest with you. That's like my gut feeling. I think whoever this person was, or if this was a team of people, I think the majority of them are gone. So, and if they're not gone, well, I don't think, you know, if they came this far in what they've done for the world, I don't think they're just going to come out and, you know, announce to everybody, hey, here we are. You know, that's just not going to happen.
I agree. I don't see it happening at all. Well, Tony, this was a fun one. Kept it brief, nice and to the point, like we do. We need Rick here next week to elaborate and give some of his good one-liners. But for everyone listening, thank you so much for tuning in. Go to thebitcoinway.com/podcast. We would love to help you properly self-custody your Bitcoin, zero counterparty risk, do it the right way the first time. We can help you with your online privacy, setting up privacy phones, Plan B residency. Tony and the guys just got back from Panama, onboarded, I don't know what, 20 or 30 people. So helping people achieve full self-sovereignty. That is our mission. Again, thebitcoinway.com/podcast. You can schedule a free 30-minute consult with a member of our team. And we hope to see you soon. Tony, as always, it's an absolute pleasure. Always have a blast. And thank you for your time.
Likewise, Michael. Happy to be here, man.
Cheers, Tony.